It's 25 past 12, and now to introduce the next programme, here's Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more, it is my pleasure to introduce to you the four exciting and original personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back Wendy Richard, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Barry Cryer. Will you please welcome all four of them? As usual in this game, I'm going to ask them to speak for just a minute, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. Beside me sits Ian Messenger, the man who thought of the game many, many years ago, and is still getting royalties for it, I'm pleased to say. He has a stopwatch in one hand so I can tell how many seconds have been taken up. Wendy, will you tell us something about jerry building in just a minute, starting now?
I know nothing at all about jerry building, but instead I shall talk about Jerry Mouse, that well-known and beloved cartoon character. His antics on the screen.
Barry Cryer challenge.
Deviation from the... was this mouse built?
Well, I'm afraid out of your own mouth you condemned yourself because you
Why?
Said... Well, you said, I won't talk
well,
about...
Well, his name's... I'm about to say he lived in a building with Tomcat.
Yeah, but you actually
Jerry
said,
building.
Unfortunately, Wendy, you actually said, I don't think about Jerry building.
Oh,
say
all right,
about
then.
Jerry.
Go on, give it to him. Then.
So, Barry, I have to agree with your challenge. So you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. There are 49 seconds left, starting now.
I wanted a garden shed some years ago and acquired a phone number from those good old yellow pages, a man in our local area, and he came to see the garden, measured up a particular patch, and then came the next day with a gaggle of materials and proceeded to erect this edifice. Lo, the very next day after he had left, it began to lean and fall over. The rusty hinges, which couldn't have been rusty because they were new, and I think I'll stop talking!
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of garden earlier on and rusty quite recently.
How very sporting of you to let the garden go. How very clever of you to let the audience know that you hadn't missed it. And I will give it to you on either you like because it was repetition. And you take over the subject, having gained a point for a correct challenge. Jerry building, 22 seconds are left, starting now.
Jerry building is a name we give to an unsubstantial edifice such as Nash produced in Regent Street and the northern part thereof, which is Great Portland and Regent's Park. People think today is the only time when builders and merchants economize on materials.
Well, Clement Freud kept going until the whistle went, and so he gains an extra point for doing that. And I'm still confused and puzzled how he can think that any Nash building was jerry-built. But nobody challenged him. Why?
When they had another look at them to rebuild many of the presents in Regent's Park, they found that he was the most appallingly shoddy purveyor of goods and bought second-hand bricks and third-rate rubble. The buildings were all falling down. Why?
Well, that's terribly interesting, isn't it?
Quite boring, but it's
yes,
true.
the next round.
A shed in the garden. It was a Nash shed.
It was a Nash shed.
It was a Naff shed.
Barry Cryer, will you take the next round? The subject, frolics. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Allied to the word frolics, I always think of the word bunting, an expression. It's very difficult to say after two BBC Mac-ons, or indeed Mac-offs. Frolics are the very essence of life. I am a Sybarite, a hedonist, an indulgent fellow who believes in fun and frolics. Why not is responsibility all, is a sense of social concern all we have to call...
Too concerned. Challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
He was getting into social concern and everything, which really had nothing to do with the subject, which is frolics.
Why did you challenge him for hesitation? It was much more obvious.
Well, we all have our little ways. I dare say if you were sitting where I'm, you might have done the same thing. I don't know. If I were the chairman, I'm sure the game would be quite different.
probably wouldn't be running now. I am going to give Peter a point for his challenge and tell him he has the subject of frolics, and 33 seconds are left, starting now.
If there's anyone here who served in Cyprus in the armed forces just after the war, they will know that there was a nightclub there called Frolics. And it was amusing because when anybody said, "What are you doing tonight?" and you said, "Going to frolics," they always said, "Say that again." They weren't quite sure. But it was very dingy, not at all glamorous, and they sold warm beer, which they'd made themselves, I think, somewhere in the back. And there weren't any really ordinary people there, apart from the...
Sorry, Barry Crouch Allen.
Oh, sir. I feel a cad now. Hesitation, I thought.
Yes, there was hesitation, and you've got in with half a second to go very cleverly. So
your
half a second.
Your timing has always been impeccable.
Can you tell us something about frolics in half a second, Barry, starting now?
This club?
Peter Jones challenged you.
He can't tell us anything about it.
So, give Peter Jones a bonus point for a good challenge, and Barry gets you've got another quarter of a second left, starting now.
This.
Right. So according to EMS, you had a quarter of a second left, so you got 1 point previous to that for an incorrect challenge, and you're now definitely in the lead at the end of the round, Barry. Hold
There's
on.
There's no justice. Shoddy challenge.
Clement Foy, would you take the next round? The subject is snipe. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
A snipe is a small game bird who, unlike Wendy Richards, has a long, straight bill and spends much of its time in the marshes. Now, when I say that this is not the natural habitat of the lady sitting on my right, I'm only taking a guess because I know very little of her modus vivendi. Sniping in the army is shooting. It derives its name...
That's Wendy Richard as challenge.
Hesitation and deviation. Well, it was deviation first, but then I thought perhaps he might wander back on the right track, so I thought I'd let him get on with it. But then I think there was a hesitation.
There was a definite hesitation. I don't know. Yes. Well, you were worried about the modus vivendi, were you?
No, I came in a car.
A bonus point to Wendy Richard for her reply. And she takes over the subject now, having gained a point for a correct challenge. 32 seconds on snipe, starting now.
I always thought snipe was a fish, but apparently, as Clement has just said, it's a bird. Unfortunately, I don't know a lot about these little creatures either, except for cockatiels, one of which I have called Henry, of whom I am very fond.
Barry Crowe challenge.
Deviation from the subject. I mean, it's getting ornithological in much too wide a sense.
Well, just explain yourself before I decide.
The subject's still snipe, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. And she's on to what? Cockatoos?
Cockatiels.
Yeah. I was going
cockatiels.
To go back to snipe.
Oh, well,
my
I wasn't...
My very next words were going to be...
Did you say... What did you say? Cockatiels?
Yes.
Cockatiels, yes.
Mm. Oh, yes. I don't... Are they fish?
No.
A little bird with a funny hairdo.
Cross between an eel and a cockatoo.
Barry, you have a correct challenge. You have 17 seconds on snipe, starting now.
This word makes me think of sniper and the end of that wonderful film, All Quiet on the Western Front, when the soldier sees a butterfly fluttering just in front of him, reaches out, and all you see upon the screen is his hand. At that moment, a German sniper takes aim. You hear the sound of a shot. The butterfly flutters away and...
Clement Foy challenge.
Second butterfly.
Second butterfly,
the second
yes.
butterfly.
It's the end of the film. I didn't see it.
Yeah. Thank you, Wendy. Very moving. I got quite emotional there. That's why
I know. Yeah. Well, Clement Foy has done to you what you did to Peter Jones at the end of the last round. He's got him with half a second to go on snipe, starting now.
Bang.
Let me give you the score at the end of that round. Barry Crowe is still in the lead, but he's now only 1 point ahead of Clement Foy. Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is My First Million. Will you tell us something about that? Not any of the later millions you've got, just the first million we'd like to hear about, Peter. Starting now.
Oh, dear, I am embarrassed because I haven't actually made my first million. I'm talking about pounds, of course. We are discussing money, I suppose, if it were...
Clement Foy challenge.
Two suppositions.
Yes, I suppose. Clement, you have a correct challenge in that case. You have 50 seconds to tell us something about my first million starting now.
I made my first million in Italy, where I put about £20 each way on a horse, which won at 30-1, and I got over £1 million, which are almost entirely worthless. My second million was...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, he said that it was almost worthless, and he also said it was worth £20. At 30-1. So it must have been worth about £600.
Right.
I would say that it was deviation because it wasn't entirely worthless. It was
that's
worth
what
something.
I mean, that is the challenge. I phrased it badly, but that was the challenge.
So, Peter, we agree with the challenge. My first million is back with you, and there are 35 seconds left starting now.
My first million fans, of course, were really treasured, and I still have many of them surviving, and there are several millions, of course, they've been joined by billions since then, and many of them write to me 2 or 3 times a year, one of them does. In fact, he's the one who writes. But there are others who I'm hoping to make fans around the world with this great program, Just a Minute, which I suppose if it's been on for 20 years and there are 20...
Clement Freud is challenged.
It's another supposition. He supposed yet
yes,
again.
Yes, he supposed again.
You're supposed... getting very suppository tonight.
You can't put too many suppositories into one round, can you, Brian? Clement, you have a correct challenge. 7 points, my first million starting now.
My first million voters for the party which I represent consisted of all sorts of people who never seem...
So Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, and he gained that all-important extra point. He's now in the lead at the end of that round. He's overtaken Barry Cryer. Peter Jones follows, and then Wendy Richard, and Wendy begins the next round. Wendy, the subject is sweet peas. Will you tell us something about those delightful plants with their wonderful scent in Just a Minute, starting now?
I love sweet peas. They're one of my favourite flowers. They come in a variety of very pretty shades, from a deep pink, white, and a lovely little purple colour. I've never had any success in growing them myself. I've tried several times, but now I'm going to try peas. I didn't have any luck with them either before. So I shall have another go next year, and perhaps a few tomatoes. But there's nothing nicer to look at than a whole trellis of sweet peas growing up all round a pretty door or window. It really does gladden the eye, and is no one going to buzz me in a minute?
Peter Jones has helped out. Peter,
yes, well, I just accepted your invitation.
She obviously enjoys being buzzed.
Steady on there, Parsons.
No, she was deviating by talking about being buzzed and away from sweet peas, so that was correct deviation, Peter. You have 24 seconds on the subject sweet peas, starting now.
Sweet peas were first cultivated in the small town in Shropshire where I was born and brought up. I do believe we've had this subject before. Am I right in thinking?
Barry Cryer has challenged.
If we have, that's repetition.
We did have this subject before 15 years ago, Peter, and I made a classic error by mentioning the fact that because someone challenged on the fact that sweet peas did not bloom in November, because someone said, brought up the time of year, and I said that it was perfectly true, and I then got through the post no less than 20 or 30 or 40 packets of sweet peas, all forwarded from the BBC to prove that I was wrong, and they were all dead, of course, when they got there. I'm utterly bored this audience got dead. Wendy Richard has challenged.
Deviation. dare I say it, Nicholas, boring.
You can say whatever you like, Wendy, because you're so charming and attractive the way you say anything. I give you a bonus point for that.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you on the show. Barry Cryer had a correct challenge some time ago. Because he was... Peter did deviate from the subject of sweet peas. There are 13 seconds for you.
I don't think he did. I was just making a whimsical point. I'm ashamed of that challenge, actually.
And you listeners can't remember it.
I can't remember it now.
There's Nicholas remembering every bloody thing that happened 15 years ago.
Challenge You challenged for repetition when he said of the subject, because we'd had it many years ago.
Yeah, but that isn't doesn't stop Peter continuing, does it? I'm ashamed
absolutely,
of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Peter, you have a point for an incorrect challenge, and you have 13 seconds to go on talking about sweet peas starting now.
In this little field in Salop, they grew the sweet peas, and the seeds they sent all over the world, and every sweet pea that you see nowadays in New Zealand or South Africa, wherever it may be, comes...
So Peter Jones got some points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now equal with Barry Cryer in second place, only one point behind Clement Freud. Barry, your turn to begin. The subject is paper hanging. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Paper hanging in any sense of the term does not work. If you believe in capital punishment, which I do not, using paper for this purpose causes a loud tearing noise and the plummeting of the lucky victim to the ground. If you try to hang a paper, the same thing applies. The whole exercise is pointless. It just floats about, fluttering in the wind on the end of a piece of string. Mind you, certain rooms in the house that could be useful and practical, but hanging a paper is absolutely pointless. Another interpretation of the phrase paper hanging could be one that I have yet to think of. So I will refer to the first connotation of the grisly subject of capital punishment.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A deviation.
Why?
Well, he went from the original subject, I mean the theme that he was following, and he said, I'll talk about another interpretation of the word, and then he couldn't think of it, and he went back to the original, and got on no better.
Peter, all I can say is you're trying extremely hard.
Well, thank you very
much. He didn't actually deviate.
I would like to return the compliment, Nicholas.
Well, just to show you how generous I am, Peter, I will give you a bonus point for that response. But your challenge was incorrect because he didn't deviate from paper hanging. So Barry still has the subject. 21 seconds are left, Barry, starting now.
The context I couldn't put my tongue to has returned. Paper hanging as in interior decoration. I recall a weekend last year when my lady wife of some 26 summers and 34 winters... asked me to hang the paper in our back room, which faces on... Good Lord!
And knowing his lovely wife, Terry, I must say, Terry, if you're listening, I'm sure he doesn't mean it. But Barry, you did... Oh, you do.
What did I say? I never said anything about her.
Barry, you kept going until the whistle went and gained that extra point. You are now once more in the lead. You're one point ahead of Peter Jones, who's now equal with Clement Freud. He's moved up, Peter has. And Wendy Richard is trailing a little. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is dripping. let me explain myself. The subject isn't dripping. Dripping is what I hope they'll talk about. There are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
There used to be a joke about dripping was... Does your mother keep dripping? No, she uses butter. I never thought it was very funny. Repeating it in front of his audience, I realized that I was absolutely correct. Dripping is what emanates when you fry or roast a bird or piece of meat, and the residual fat is called dripping, and if set, can be spread on pieces of bread or toast, which taste quite delicious and make you fairly fat. At the bottom of a pan of dripping, you will find a marvelous dark brown goo, which is really the substance of all great cookery, in that it is the basis of a sauce. Escoffier suggested many years ago that dripping's base ought to be put into a sauce hollandaise, which we call...
Wendy, challenge.
Sauce twice. It's too saucy.
Yes. It was very interesting, but it was repetition. So, Wendy, you
it
have...
It wasn't that interesting either, did it?
Well, don't rub it in.
Sorry.
I'm sure some people found it interesting.
What, rubbing dripping in?
Wendy, you have 7 seconds to tell us something about dripping starting now.
I always save the dripping from when I've been cooking meat or chicken or whatever fowl. It does come in useful for when you are...
Well, So Wendy got points in that round, including one for speaking with the whistle rent, and it's a very interesting scoreline because only 1 point separates Wendy, who's in third place, from Clement Freud and Peter Jones, who's in second place, and 1 point ahead of them is our leader still, Barry Cryer. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, punctures. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
One doesn't have so many punctures nowadays. The tyres have improved. But when I was a boy and had a bicycle, I had a little tin with which to mend punctures. But better now, I think, to call the RAC or one of the other organisations who send a van and they change the wheel. And that's much more interesting. But interesting enough, really, to go on
Barry
talking about this
challenge.
As long as a minute.
Deviation from accuracy. Can you call the RAC to a bike?
You can. Sorry, I withdraw. Wendy, what do you want to say?
I should have challenged before, because Peter said he had a little tin with which to mend the puncture. You didn't mend the puncture with the tin, but with the contents of the tin.
Yes, you're quite right.
But unfortunately, Wendy, you didn't challenge before Barry did. And Barry, yes, whether it's obviously possible to call the RAC to a bicycle, but, yes, but I don't think you'll get a very good response when they arrive.
You don't even get one if you've got a car.
No wonder they refused your application last time you were in, Peter. So you keep the subject, Peter, for an incorrect challenge. Sorry, a point for an incorrect challenge, and you keep the subject. 37 seconds are left to tell us something more about punctures, starting now.
They tend to happen on a very busy road when it's raining. That's been my experience. It's Sod's Law, really, that applies to punctures as it does to so many little accidents that surround one in one's life. Now, I've had a puncture in a very busy street in Bologna in Italy, and nobody there was able to tell me the number.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with that hesitation. It's punctures with Clement Freud. 13 seconds left, starting now.
I'd like to say one or two kind words about the Automobile Association, who are also very competent at dealing with punctures. You ring any telephone number given to you on your card, and a small man comes out and shoots.
So, Clement Freud gained the extra point for speaking with Whistle Wendy. He's now one ahead of the other two and in the lead. And Wendy Richard, your turn to begin. The subject is auctions. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I love auctions. I find them absolutely fascinating because I'm a collector of a great many things. My boyfriend says they're rubbish, but I know they are wonderful antiques and one day they're going to be worth a lot of money. Well, I have been stopped going to auction rooms because my best friend and I used to go. And her husband stopped us going because we went after a very heavy lunch one day and ended up buying a lot. Well, it was rubbish. You have to admit it was not worth anything.
Barry Cryer challenge. No, Barry challenge.
A repetition. There were two rubbishes in there.
Yes, there was too much rubbish. I'm sorry.
There was, yes.
Yes, yes. So Barry has another point and he's now equal to Clement Freud and he has 35 seconds to tell us something about auctions starting now.
Attending auctions is fraught with peril. Every scratch of the nose, lift of the eyebrow or involuntary movement of the head can be interpreted as a bid. I was in an auctioneer's called Phillips 2 years ago with some friends and there was a lot that took my eye, as in a lot, not a large quantity, and I thought that I would put in a bid, which I did, which was then...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of bid.
You bid more than once, unfortunately.
Yes.
And Clement has another point, and the subject back, auctions, 15 seconds left, starting now.
When the game of bridge was first invented, one played either auction or contract. And it was quite interesting because it was such a tedious way to pass the hours, putting down cards without having preceded by estimating the number of tricks.
So Clement Freud getting points, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has now taken the lead again at the end of that round. Barry Cryer, your turn to begin. The subject, fun and games. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Fun and games calls to mind the previous topic of bunting and frolic, because I am obsessed with enjoyment as long as it does not harm other people. selfish it may be, but harmless I hope it is. My favourite games are soccer, as in association football, and tennis, as in a court, which I play with our three sons. The last time I played, I incurred a torn ligament playing tennis, and I'm sorry.
Oh, he collapsed. I wish you could have seen him. Wendy, you... No, sorry, Clement Freud, you challenged first. What was
it? He collapsed.
28 seconds on fun and games, starting now.
I think in my time of life, fun is rather more important than games, because I don't get a lot of it. But football, cricket, soccer, squash, fives, badminton. Now, there is a game which you play with a shuttlecock, which very nearly makes it fun.
Wendy Richard challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed it was. Oh. He only thought of what the devious remark he just made. Yeah. And then he hesitated, so Wendy, you got him with 5 seconds to go to tell us something about fun and games starting now.
Jerry Mouse and Tom Cat have a lot of fun and games with the cartoons. I love watching them because they get up...
Well, Wendy started the whole show with Jerry Building, and she managed to get back to Jerry Mouse again. Very clever. Well thought out, Wendy. You kept going to the whistle when gained the extra point, and you are now equal with Peter Jones in third place, one behind Barry Cryer, and he's three behind Clement Freud, who's in the lead. Clement, the subject is putting up a tent. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I can tell you something about putting up a tent, but I would particularly ask anyone who is listening not to pay very close attention, because each time I have attempted to do so myself, there has been disaster and the tent has collapsed. You have a number of poles and guy ropes and pegs, also canvas and a book of instructions. And the most important aspect is that whatever is written tends not to be effective. I have had tents which I put up.
And when you have a chance...
Hesitation.
Yes, there was an... Wendy, you've got in with 25 seconds to go on the subject of putting up a tent, starting now.
I have no idea how to put up a tent. I think the best thing to do is to find somebody else and ask them to come and do it for you. But I have seen people struggling a lot with the ropes and the pegs and the poles.
And Peter Jones challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, yes, she did hesitate there. 12 seconds for you to tell us something about putting up a tent, Peter, starting now.
Putting up a tent requires many of the same qualities and ingenuity as paper hanging, because you have to be very dexterous, although the actual tent isn't made of this wood fibre and sort.
So Peter Jones is speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he has also brought this show to an end because we have no more time to play Just a Minute. And Wendy Richard and Barry Cryer, who play the game less than Peter Jones and Clement Freud, finished equal in third place, but only 1 point behind Peter Jones. He was 2 points behind Clement Freud. So this week we call him our winner, Clement Freud. It only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four delightful panellists, Wendy's just packing up a bag, ready to go at the moment. That is Wendy Richard, Barry Cryer, Peter Jones, and Clement Freud. And our producer, Edward Taylor, who contributes so much behind the scenes, and myself, Nicholas Parsons. Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it. And you will want to tune in again at the same time next week when we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye!